Conference record has joined the conference.
Good morning, Ben here.
Kathy's here.
Hey, Kathy, how are you?
I'm okay, how are you?
I am okay. Scale of 1 to 10, 10 being awesome.
I don't know.
9.5?
Seven. I have a 10-year-old's birthday party to plan for Saturday, so I'm. That's weighing on my mind.
Gotcha.
Sleepover with 6 other girls.
Wow, those are high stakes.
Yeah, yeah.
Us so far. Anyone else here other than Kathy and Ben?
Hey, Andrea Diamond here.
Hey, Andrea, how are you?
Good. How's it going?
Good. Just
hi, Andrea. It's Kathy.
Hey, yeah. All right. I'm gonna put myself on mute because I'm just in the open staff room, and you know,
sure.
We get loud.
Hello.
Hey there.
This is Chris.
Hey, Chris. Ben, Kathy, and Andrea are here with you.
Great.
Hi, Chris.
How are you doing?
Doing good.
Good.
You've established Kathy is doing 9.5 out of 10 at the moment.
No, I think I said 7. You said 9.5 on my behalf.
So is there like a multiplier there? Like Kathy's 7 is Ben's 9?
It might be a Canadian thing.
Yeah, we round up.
Yeah.
So, and by the way, Chris, congratulations on your accession. I missed the last meeting to congratulate you as a board member. So welcome.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
We'll just give another minute or two. Ben Shum sends his regrets. So does Rogan. Morning.
Hello, this is Chauncey.
Hi, Chauncey. You're here with Kathy, Ben, Andrea, and Chris.
All
right. Hello.
Did Ben Shum mention to you that he might not be able to make it?
Yeah, he just emailed before this.
Okay.
So we're just waiting for Grace and Yamil, I guess. Maybe just give them one more minute.
Yamil just sent me an email on another topic, so he's around somewhere.
Huh. This call is being recorded. We'll save the recording, and if I recall, it can be either saved as a transcript or the audio file can be made available. In case anybody wants to relive this amazing experience.
In real time.
That's right.
I was going to say, is it transcripted live or transcribed live, or does it automatically do that?
It's a robotic thing, and it
wow.
Very, very amusing transcripts.
I'm sure it does.
Living in the future, man.
We all say,
The conference call will be transcribed?
Absolutely.
You're loving my accent.
Do you get to turn it off if you want to, like, start talking about all those secret matters we've been waiting for on the for the conference call.
And you use pig Latin for that.
Yeah, we have a scratch device. On that nice segue, that's when Grace dials in. Good morning, Grace.
Good morning.
Who said pig Latin and you dialed in? Well done. Okay, so we have Kathy, Ben, Andrea, Chris, Chauncey, Emil, and Grace. We have regrets from Ben, Shum, and Rogan. And without further ado, why don't we get into it? I have another meeting at the one-hour mark, so I will talk like an auctioneer right up to about the halfway point, and then we'll see how it goes from there. Any new additions to the agenda? All right, hearing none. Moving on to the minutes from last. Everybody happy with those minutes? I'm just so excited to hear you all out there.
They look fine to me.
There are a couple of actions that are pending, and I've just slotted those in under the different agenda points.
Yeah, I forgot to review these. I'm not quite sure what my action item meant, so hopefully I did it.
Okay.
Oh, and
sure
speaking of, beyond, I'm sorry to interrupt, beyond the transcript, should I be taking notes as the secretary?
I think you'll be okay. I can send you the transcribed files afterwards. And
okay. I may keep an outline of notes.
They are in verbose mode, so lots of ms and ahs will be captured.
All right.
I can make an audio recording?
It does. The system does that automatically as well. So.
Okay.
Yeah, we're good. Of course, I could be wrong about all of this.
I'll keep the high points in the Google Doc for myself.
Perfect. Okay, so third topic here was Evergreen vendor listing and related correspondence received. There's been an ongoing conversation on the list. I haven't seen anything today. Chris, can I check on you? Was there anything today? Or
I've not seen anything. Now, we're talking about the vendor policy, correct, that Rogan put forth at the last meeting? Okay. The last word on that, I believe, was Saturday.
I thought there was some Monday too.
Was there something Monday?
Maybe I don't know. I stopped paying. Yeah.
Let's see. Steve Rogan had said. Okay, he gave me. Yeah, it was September 15th, which was Monday. Yes. So that was the last response. It was a long email from Rogan. And I decided just to sort of exit the conversation at that point because it was becoming not very entertaining tennis match between Rogan and me.
Okay. Like a doubles. You're on the same team. You're just...
Well, we're still pals. Just don't see eye to eye on this one.
Okay, and I did see... at least one quote unquote vendor weighed in with some thoughts and feedback, but just the one. And that was Equinox.
No, I think there were two. There was Equinox and Jason Stevenson.
Yeah, Jason Stevenson.
Oh, right, Jason. Okay. So, next steps, and maybe next steps is hold on for a more fulsome conversation when Rogan is able to attend, see where the consensus is, see what we need to do in terms of. Revising the policy, if that's the suggested approach, and move forward from there. Is there any reason why we need to rush and make a decision at this point?
No.
I
think we should
really.
Wait for Rogan.
Okay.
I think
this was sort of his he put this forth, and, he feels very strongly about it. I think it would be unfair to make a decision without him in the room.
And is this hinging, is the big debate between whether it's a requirement that the vendor has a page on their site?
From,
I can barely hear whoever's speaking.
That was Ben.
I think that was Chauncey, actually.
I'm sorry. I apologize. From my point of view, the issue is, yes, that, you know, Rogan put it forth as a requirement. The committee, you know, as a whole had no big objections to that. And then when the discussion got on the list, I brought up a question as to whether that's, you know, requiring content of a vendor in order to just be listed. Do they have to change, you know, their site architecture and stuff like that, which I think seems to be a tall order to make it a requirement. And so that is, from my point of view, that's the issue. And if it were just, if it were a strong suggestion or here's some guidelines or something like that, I'd totally be fine and would vote yes today.
I think one thing is that no matter what we decide, the policy needs to be clarified, because right now we're pretty much, there's a disagreement over what the current policy says.
Yeah, there is.
So, I mean, I don't think we should make any decisions without Rogan, but no matter where we go, it needs to be clarified and explicit.
I agree with Kathy.
Okay, thanks.
And just, you know, this is Andrea, as a reminder, there is, you know, the confusion with regards to Emerald as well in the same exact issue, so... That's probably something.
And that's about where they placed their link and whether it was required. That
it was whether it was actually a link, right?
Yeah.
Like they said that they would put the. I just pulled up the email. They were like, "Oh yeah, we put. You know, we're happy to put the logo and mention it." But it was the link back that was an issue, and so
yeah,
you know, to keep that in mind.
But they
yeah,
did
that was on my mind when. Pardon me.
Oh, I was just saying they did ultimately put the link back up there. It's not in an easy to find place, but they do have a link back.
Yeah. Yeah, I actually did a. We are kind of having this discussion anyway, aren't we? I did a sort of an informal site review myself, just to sort of put my feet in Rogan's shoes to see, you know, is this something that really needs to be done? You know, and they're the. From my point of view, they're the vendors that we work with that pretty much exclusively do Evergreen, maybe Koha. And then we have the vendors that are more generalist in their approach. You know, Catalyst and Emerald would be good examples of, you know, and we only have like six vendors on the site at this point since we weeded out the bad one last time. And for the ones who... You know, Evergreen's their main beef. They'll kind of do whatever the community wants. But in a, you know, for a vendor that we're sort of just a small slice of their business or even a, you know, like we're not their main thing, it seems like asking a lot to ask them to change their site and possibly their business strategy. You know, I mean, websites are expressions of business models. So it's not just sort of you need to, you know, it shouldn't be a big deal for you to put this page up. You know, some people may have a business model that doesn't include something like that. And I think that should just be up to the business. It doesn't seem to be something that the Evergreen community should be dictating.
If what the concern is, sorry, this is Grace. If what the concern is really, and I think this is where Rogan is coming from, is how do we prevent people from, how do we help people find the best service for them, and how do we prevent, obviously we can't prevent somebody somebody like EdgeAssist from happening again. You know, vendor crops up, they say all the right things, they have everything the community requires to be listed as an Evergreen vendor, but, you know, how do we protect a community of users who, kinds of people that are going to stumble upon the newer vendors are going to be people who are new to the community, generally. You know, they're going to be people who, you know, come in and go, hey, we want to go with Evergreen. Oh, hey, here's a vendor. And I think this is what happened in North Carolina with the Granville people. You know, they stumbled upon somebody, their county IT may have had involvement in who was selected. It was a local vendor, and that played heavily into their choice. So if we're if all of this, at the bottom of all of this, is how do we make the process of listing vendors a little less a shot in the dark for some people, is maybe helping them make choices that are better for them. Obviously, we can encourage people to ask for references and talk to other people who have used this vendor, and you can ask people to do that, but they're not always going to do it. So kind of hitting two birds with one stone, and this doesn't really address the fact that our policy may be confused at this point, but if we're trying to just make it easier for people, do we have people that are willing to kind of be community points of contact? Like, if you have questions about potential questions to ask a vendor, or, you know, obviously not vendor recommendations, but would there be people like Andrea or Chris or other people in the community that would be willing to entertain questions from the community about how to properly vet the best vendor for their needs?
I would totally be willing to do that.
That might help. I would, in theory, be willing to do that. I mean, of course, I only have experience with the one vendor, and that's you guys, but I know I've served as a reference and initial point of contact before, and I'm always happy to, you know, talk to people about, like, what our experience has been. But,
well, I think the important thing to talk to people about is what are you looking for? Like, you know, you should,
right.
What do you need? And then helping them formulate a list of questions to ask the vendor. You know, you should really ask the vendor this. You know, where do they do their data hosting? And you should ask the vendor
right.
how many support staff they have, or, you know, whatever.
Yeah, and that's definitely, like, what I've tried. That's definitely what I've tried to start with, and especially, like, you know, my wheelhouse seems to be obviously the smaller libraries who, you know, don't have the tech expertise on hand. So that's something, like, they're going to need, you know, full support and hosting, like, as opposed to somebody like a larger library with a dedicated tech staff that would have different needs. So.
This is Chauncey. I agree that, you know, it's good to help people out that may be new to this and just, you know, trying to find their way around. A couple thoughts. Could we just have something on the site that has some boilerplate questions? Like, hey, if you're out looking for a vendor, these are the types of questions you should be asking. And then I guess my other thought is along this, or in this conversation, is I guess I feel that the responsibility still falls on the library or the organization that's seeking out somebody to do the work. And, you know, I think in any industry you're always going to have folks out there that are not good service providers, and hopefully, you know, the reputation will be such that they'll get out of the market. And unfortunately, some people get bad service from time to time. But I guess, I don't know, I don't mind helping people, but I guess I want to try to stay out of the kind of being like Better Business Bureau of Evergreen.
That's you're making, I'm sorry to interrupt, Chauncey, that you're making my point. That is, you know, and when I say yes, I'm totally willing to, you know, be a point of contact for people. I kind of already am. I mean, people do contact GPLS about, you know, Evergreen support options. But I think you're exactly right that, you know, from my point of view, this is a listing similar to the Yellow Pages, except we're not charging anybody for it. We do require a link back. That's sort of our policy. If you want on our site, you need to give us a little bit of boost. And aside from that, it seems like it's up to the other two parties, the people who are looking for support and the people who are providing support, to, you know, do the rest of the work. You know, I feel terrible about the Granville thing. I've helped Dina, and I've talked to them for several months now about different issues, because they've contacted me for help, and I'm willing to. But, you know, they whatever their process was, if there was one, failed them. I mean, it did not produce a vendor that was responsible. And I would say that the solution, the impetus for that, I understand what Grace is saying about, you know, is there something we can do to protect someone from doing that in the future? And I think it's education about how this works. And so I would agree with Chauncey about having some boilerplate language. Here are some tips about vendor selection.
Yeah, I think
I absolutely like that.
Sorry, go ahead, Emil.
Chauncey, that suggestion about the boilerplate, anything like that, sign me up to help put something together. Again, I'm at county library, so if whoever volunteers to help put that together should come from a consortium. And in there, we could just make a suggestion that some people do naturally, is like ask for discrete suggestions or recommendations on the mailing list. Like for us to get, like, please, like, contact me offline, but announce on a general list, because sometimes, you know, Andrew might be on vacation when someone's asking for help. I'm just thinking of ways to make this more sustainable as people leave consortiums or they're just too busy. So the more self-service and guiding people to a model that could be very confusing, this open source model, that a boilerplate sounds absolutely wonderful. But I do like having an ability to at least kick someone off the list in a limited set of circumstances. So I do like the pausing a little bit still.
Well, and that is, the question really is, I like it, Chauncey, I like having an FAQ or boilerplate or something where we kind of say, here are some kinds of questions you might want, you know, your potential vendors to answer for you before you make your decision. Absolutely a better idea. And yes, and encourage people to go to the mailing list if they want to talk to somebody personally. And then the thing with the EdgeAssist Granville thing specifically, where they wrote us a letter and, you know, complained about this vendor. Do we have a place, and I don't know if this is what you want to talk about, Ben, but does the oversight board have a place if there is something egregious, some kind of behavior on the part of anyone in the community? You know, in this case, it was a vendor in the community, even though we never really saw them, who almost maliciously, you could argue, abused this, you know, this client. And, you know, there was data loss and all kinds of other, you know, terrible things. And at that point, do we want to police our own community and, you know, remove them from a vendor listing? And what's our responsibility to investigate that kind of thing?
Yeah, and I think that's, this has been, I think we've broken out two core issues. One is the clarification and explicitness of the existing policy. What was the intent? I have a view on that, which is the intent was very much to expect a link back as a two-way kind of a reciprocity piece. You are a vendor, you want a list on the site, this is what you have to do. And it's a way that we're going to ensure that there is some collaboration and some connection between the project and the market community that helps sustain it. But let's clarify that when Rogan is able to join us on the next at the next meeting.
Agreed.
And then the second piece is this framework, which Chauncey suggested, which is, for lack of a better term, an FAQ, which does maybe go into some detail not only about how to vet what to look for, but also, I think, appropriately directs people right back to the existing avenues, the ways to plug in and engage with the community, with just the lists and IRC and the rest of it. And beyond that, oh, by the way, all those people are actually humans, and you can actually contact maybe one or two of them and ask questions. But I think on the last point, in terms of the data loss piece, I mean, that is sort of the worst-case scenario, isn't it, that a process fails, folks are in a real bind. Is it the role of the Evergreen Oversight Board on behalf of the project to step in at that point? That's a very interesting question. You're waiting.
I'm very nervous about the board stepping in those situations, because when we start deciding who goes on there based on something other than the minimal requirements we have, then it almost looks like we're endorsing the ones that are on there. And it makes me nervous. And I think you're also going to come up with some situations that aren't as clear-cut as the EdgeAssist one. And then where do you draw the line?
I agree with
that. Yeah, I agree. Oh, I'm sorry. I was just going to say, this is Andrew. I agree with Kathy that we have to be real careful about what that line is. It can be a really slippery slope. Like, I'm kind of honestly torn. Like, I understand that, you know, I'm certainly really sympathetic with Granville, and I understand that, you know, there's this maybe a desire for us to act in that case, but, like, what would we, how would we act in that case? Like, do we have to be really careful about towing that line, you know, between, like, you know, we want to obviously have good vendors, but is it our job to enforce that? You know, I don't know. I'm a little confused, obviously, here in my own thoughts. But I agree with what Kathy said, that we need to be real careful about that slippery slope.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so one of the actions pending that I've got here was we have received correspondence. I think it came in through Grace. This relates to the Granville brouhaha. It was one of the actions in the last meeting, which I haven't done yet, which was simply to respond back out formally on behalf of the Evergreen Oversight Board, saying, thank you for bringing this to our attention. We take this seriously. We are discussing it. But I'm also really concerned. I don't think that we can get too existential about the role of the Evergreen Oversight Board in enforcing good behavior in the marketplace. Way beyond the intent, I think, as you know, the little framework that we have to go on in terms of the mandate of the board through the initial kind of rules, that would be a stretch, and it would be difficult to enforce, and it's a lot to ask. I think we can do a really good job through FAQs and connecting people, but I think anything beyond that, we're way beyond mandate and on, frankly, really shaky footing.
This is Chauncey. I think we are on shaky footing with that, and also I'd be curious what kind of liability we're opening up if we do get into that role. And I don't know, if somebody had something really bad happen, could potentially they come back at us for some kind of, you know, recourse or something? I don't know. I just don't think it's a good thing for us to, you know, I think we should do what we can to help people make educated decisions, but not be in the role of determining who is a good vendor and a bad vendor.
One thing that I've liked that we've done is that I believe we just hit about a year of having this, and we set the requirements. Well, we thought were very simple, but we need to revisit that after all, because that was very simple, just to link back. And I don't think in the next month or so we're going to decide how we're always going to treat this page. That might be something that once a year we revisit, or maybe in 2 years we'll have 4 complaints over 2 separate vendors, and maybe we can adjust or reconsider a bit if more issues come up. But I like that overall the first year went okay, and when we had one issue with that vendor, we saw that they didn't have a site, so that was, in that sense, we had a good excuse. So let's move forward with just applying that very simple requirement. So part of me would like to wait and see. Maybe make some tweaks for this next year and just be vigilant and maybe get some feedback of, do we want to have a way people can submit complaints in publicly or privately, but that's it for me.
Okay, thanks. So I'll put in a couple of actions. One, we're going to revisit on the clarification of existing. 2, in terms of developing the FAQ, we're beginning to start on that. Yamil, I heard you kind of volunteer. Is that okay if the minutes reflect that?
Yes.
Thank you. And so if we draft that, we can start to tear it apart and add to it and make it awesome. Not that it won't be awesome right at the beginning. It will be awesome. It'll get awesomer as we contribute to it. Thank you. Okay, so if there's nothing further on that one for now, we get to come back to it next month. And
yay!
Moving on to the next one, Kathy, Outreach Program for Women. I believe your action from the last was to communicate broadly, and you've done that and then some. Did you have any updates?
Sure. It seems to be going well. We wound up pulling together three coding projects, a documentation project, and a UI project, and we have at least two mentors for each project to help out. And we're starting to see people in IRC and on the list reaching out and trying to get their initial contribution in, because they need to do an initial contribution before they can submit an application. And there seems to be interest in almost all of the projects. I think I've seen some interest in. So it seems to be moving forward, and hopefully we'll get a good project out of it.
That's exciting. Thank you for the update. Does anyone have any questions for Kathy?
How do we give karma in the conference call?
Just have you
I'll say Kathy plus plus and hope that comes on the transcript.
Okay.
you could send me cookies. That works.
Okay, that works. I'll do that.
Awesome. That's great. Okay, next thing is the SFC update. So there are two pieces here. The emergency fund piece is in my inbox. I will be drafting a proposal or an ask to the SFC to see what the response is in terms of, you know, can we park emergency funds at the SFC? How amenable are they to negotiation on the 10%, et cetera, et cetera? And for those that missed it, Kathy and I did speak with Karen at SFC very quickly, much like today. We spoke like auctioneers. She did give an indication that they might be amenable to shaving a point or something off of the admin fee, but then also described sort of what their overhead is and why that cost comes in. So I'll be drafting that and sending it off. And then the other piece of the SFC update was the OCLC topic. So this is also ongoing, and as of yesterday, Rogan has obtained an opinion at an institutional basis around the ability for his organization, for example, to share OCLC records within the community. What are the implications locally? The idea is we would start with that local analysis and then share that off with SFC to think about it from the project level perspective. And so that's moving along, and thanks to Rogan for putting his hand up to get that opinion. Any questions about either of those things?
I do have a question. I was on the proto board that decided to adopt, you know, I was not a voting member, but I was the recording secretary for the Evergreen whatever it was called, governance committee back a few years ago before this committee was in place. And as I remember those conversations, that 10% that was going to the SFC was completely up to us. Like, they said they have members who don't donate a thing. They had members who donated 1 or 2%, and then they had members who did 5 or 10%, and the group at that time decided to go with 10%. That's what we're talking about, right?
Yeah, although, Kathy and others, please remind me if my brain's failing on this, but as I recall, the initial fee was actually 3%. It was a fee that was going off the books, so 3% regularly each cycle. And then just before I came onto the board, actually in the meeting just before, an increase to 10% was approved. It was an SFC-wide all projects
initiative, okay,
that effectively said, look, we're spending more than we're taking in.
That changed since I was last involved. I just wanted a clarification. Thank you.
Yeah, sure. Have I got that right, though, Kathy, Grace? Is that?
Yeah, that's what I remember, but I don't know if every project actually agreed to that 10%, but I know that's the way it was presented to the board at that meeting.
Right. And so thanks for that. So for the 10%, Karen does a much better job of describing what's entailed, but effectively the financial oversight, all of the dealings around audit at the SFC level, the legal, the housekeeping, the insurance for conference purposes. purposes and a variety of other things. So the challenge that was identified in terms of storing emergency funds there is that for every $10, you lose a dollar because of the fee. And, you know, what is the efficacy of that if the interest of securing joint funds or collaborative funds or a pool of funds to do big development projects, for example. So it's an ongoing discussion. SFC isn't necessarily the only option, but it seems like an obvious place to go and ask and look at what they can do for us. Okay, so we'll watch for updates, I guess, if there's no other pieces there. Ben sends his regrets around the developer update, but he sent me the following, which says, his plan is to finish pushing any final commits today and to cut the release later this evening with formal announcements tomorrow. All the details will be blogged regarding the release. That's very exciting. Karma. Say karma. Everyone say karma.
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 Thank you. So responsive. That was awesome. The financial report, which Galen sent along yesterday, with a 32-cent increase over the previous, which is awesome. I asked him if he could send the numbers, and he said the number was 42 in a classic Hitchhiker's Guide reference. So I did laugh when it turned out the number was 32. He didn't see the humor. Anyways. Any questions about the financial report? Despite the obvious, I always have to say this. I love that revenue shows as a negative integer in these reports.
Yeah, when I first saw that, I was like, oh, no. And then I was like, oh, that's actually good.
Yeah. It's very confusing.
That's good.
Okay. It looked a lot like the last one, so nothing was raised in my mind.
I did my git div, and yeah, it's only 32 cents or whatever. I don't know. I didn't think it was worth it to send that email.
Great. And then moving on, Evergreen Conference Report, and I know that Kathy chatted with Buzzy and Fort Hood. And Kathy, did you have an update?
Sure. I'm just trying to remember what I chatted with him. So I did chat with Buzzy yesterday where the local group hasn't actually had a meeting with this more standing committee that I was trying to pull together. So I'm trying to get that meeting together so that we can get more details on the project. But it's he said he is pulling a budget together for the board because we do need a budget approved before we could sign a contract with the venue. So he's waiting for some numbers from the venue. And I don't know if until you have the contract, you don't really want to advertise the dates. But I did ask him what dates he was shooting for. And I think what I... it's in May. Sorry. May 13th to 16th is what he was shooting for. I'm looking forward to the meeting we have because I think it's September now, so we're getting a little late in the planning cycle. So I think what we need is really to kind of see what they've been working on and get a timeline going and start to try to get some information communicated out to the community too.
Cool.
So I think that's most of my updates.
Excellent if that local/Uber planning committee meeting happens soon and get a sense of, you know, progress in the right direction and all the rest of it. So May, that's a little later than usual. How does that look in the U.S. for the conference landscape? Grace, you must have, like, conference season memorized by now, like PLA, ALA, all that stuff?
May avoids PLA. PLA is usually in March. It avoids annual. And I remember Buzzy saying when he put his proposal in that he was aiming for early May because weather reasons, and that it would be a much nicer place to visit. So I actually think May would be fine.
The Maryland and Delaware Association annual conference is usually the first week of May, but since I'm literally the only person that is affected by that, and I also don't often go to the MLA-DLA conference, but I'm just throwing that out there if that might impact vendors who want to exhibit.
The Georgia
almost all the other state shows are in the fall. So.
The Georgia Library Directors meeting is usually that too.
Yeah.
What did you say, Chris?
I was saying that the Georgia Library Directors meetings are usually held either the first or second week of May, so I'll just make sure Elizabeth is aware, so hopefully we can avoid scheduling over the conference.
Yeah, and I would, even despite the conflict with MLA, DLA, like, as long as it doesn't cause any issue for exhibitors, I have no problem with that. I'd rather do that than later May, because then we start running into, like, graduations and, you know, summer travel season and, you know, stuff like that, and that it gets a little more hairy.
And most of the exhibitors have regional teams, you know, people like Baker and Taylor and folks like that. They have a West Coast team and a East Coast team and a, you know, Midwest team. So, you know, for anybody
who's going to be on the West Coast again this year, that's exciting.
Yeah. So bigger vendors wouldn't be impacted by that at all.
I think it's hard to avoid a state conference, too. I know a few years ago it happened during our state conference. It's just, I don't know how you can avoid that.
Okay. That's great. Here we are at the bottom of the agenda. Does anybody have anything new for the end? This is very unusual for us. We normally go over time.
We're usually having to type everything.
That's right. Nobody has anything new. You all sound quite chipper. The tonal qualities of your voices are excellent.
I've been practicing all morning.
Excellent. You did your gearing up exercises.
We all sang scales before we called in, you know, just
absolutely.
Each region has its own tonal quality. Like seven-part harmonies or something. Now I'm just dragging it out. Does anyone else have anything to say? Otherwise, we will conclude the call.
It's exciting to be one of you. I'll just say that.
It's exciting that you are one of us.
Yes.
Awesome. Okay, I don't know if this phone call worked. I can't actually recall the precisely why it is we had a phone call this time, other than I believe we said we would do a survey. Slightly more than 50% of us said, yeah, we should talk maybe once a year other than at the conference. So this was it. If you loved it, you know, let us know on the list. If you hated it, that's fair too. The next one will go back to IRC. And I'm betting that we're going to go overtime. but I look forward to it. Apologies for the last-minute agenda this time. I totally lost track of the weeks. Nice to hear you all, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks.
Hey, thanks, Ben. Thanks, everybody.
See you.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.